And on this final weekend of June, time once again to talk cars. Well, actually, talk problems with your car, your truck, your van. If you have any issues and you want to know what the heck could be wrong with them, why don't you get some free advice in the way of chatting, texting, calling. Nick Stoffel is an ASC-certified technician and runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Wonderful place. Hang out there myself from time to time, much to their chagrin. But anyway, Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. And you're always welcome to come hang out.
Oh, you're very kind. But that's the way you treat everybody there. You've got the friendly, I've said it 1,000 times, you've got the nicest people up there at front at the desk there. And you pick them well, and they hang around for a long time. But in the meantime, if you have any problems with your vehicle and you know you've got to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you want to know ahead of it what Nick may think may be wrong. And again, you don't have to be a motorhead. You don't have to be a do-it-yourselfer whatsoever, although we have a lot of those that call in and text in. And do that very thing. We welcome yours, and we ask you to do it earlier rather than later because our time goes by so quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 when Jack Farrell steps in. So by all means, let's hear from him. 651-461-9226, any kind of a car care question you may have. Nick, I got something earlier this morning, which is kind of fun, and I'll simplify it here because it's kind of a long paragraph. But he or she is asking about the phrase tune-up. You know, back in the old days, I guess they're asking, what was it like back in the old days, distributor and all that stuff, and what's considered a tune-up today? So let's go back in time. What was then a tune-up?
Well, you'd probably have to go back before most of us were driving, but a tune-up would consist of, you know, adjusting the timing, the points, regapping the sparks maybe, and as technology has evolved, we have electronic ignitions now. Spark plugs you don't gap because typically they're a very fine tip of iridium or platinum or some precious material which allows them to last up to 100,000 miles. So the word tune-up is stuck with us, but really I guess what I would say today, it's a good checkover. You know, maybe you're doing oil filter change, maybe you're inspecting the condition of the ignition system, making sure you don't see any signs of wear and tear. And just a general once-over of the vehicle, I think when people come into the shop, hey, I just need to have it tuned up, meaning they're getting ready for a road trip and they want to make sure everything's in good shape.
But like you and I have talked in past shows, spark plugs these days, and you mentioned the newer tips, they seem to last a long time. In fact, how often do you guys change spark plugs at Lloyd's? Maybe you do it a lot, but I mean, what do manufacturers, I guess, recommend as a rule?
Well, once again, it depends on the technology that they're using. There are some that still use a standard spark plug. You know, maybe you're getting 40 or 60,000 miles, but some of the higher mileage spark plugs will get up over 100,000 miles. So, you know, once again, as we always talk about, that manual will have a schedule in there telling you when about you should be looking at having those replaced. On those higher mileage ones, though, if you don't drive much, you're only putting a few thousand miles a year, I want you to think traditionally, like, you know, if I was driving 10, 12,000 miles, I'd probably replace those plugs at 8, 10 years. They may not be worn out, but we do run into issues where we can't get them removed once that car gets to a certain age. So mileage is kind of the key and the wear and tear piece of it. But if that car is getting up to 10, 12, 13, 14 years old and the spark plugs have not been done, that needs to be addressed before those are corroded and stuck into that cylinder head.
Oh, that's a tough one. What happens when that happens to a vehicle that they're stuck? What do you guys do?
Well,
you pray.
We cross our fingers. We pray. You know, there's over the years, there's been certain vehicle setups that have been more susceptible to like spark plugs cracking or breaking, and you have to be very cautious because the last thing you want is any of that material to go into the cylinder head. If that happens and you can't get it out, now you're removing a cylinder head when it started out as a simple spark plug replacement. So it can go from very straightforward to very complex and very expensive easily.
Let's hear your car care question at 651-461-9226, ASC Certified Tech. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering those questions as usual this morning. 651-461-9226. You're going to have to help me with this text, Nick. Listener says, I need to replace the engine hood switch two circuit high six. You're going to have to help me with this text, Nick. Listener says, I need to replace the engine hood switch two circuit high in my 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee. I was quoted nearly $400 to replace it. Is it as easy to replace as the YouTube videos imply? The replacement part is less than $40. Do you know what that texter is asking about?
Well, I always caution you with YouTube because that two-minute video is edited into 2 minutes from who knows what. Now, the other piece to it is I feel most often those switches are part of the latch. And, you know, maybe there's a aftermarket or a third-party latch you can get for $40, but I don't know if I would trust it that the electronics are going to work properly and the switch is going to work as it should. The other piece is when you install the latch, there might be some adjustment there, meaning when you close the hood, if it's not the same position, the hood might rattle. And then you might be fighting yourself, or maybe it will be too tight and not latch all the way. So if you, as always, if you have the ability, the proper tools, the training, and the willingness to attack the job, I say go ahead and do it. But just keep in mind, take photos, document as much as you can, because in the event you do run into problems, you have something to reference to get you out of it.
Very good. If you want a little bit of free car care advice from Nick Stauffel, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Another text, 2009 Silverado half ton. Texter says, I need to get tires soon. The decal on the door indicates the tire size to be P265-7017. I'm seeing some tires of that size with an LT designation instead of the P designation. What is the difference, and would there be any problems with ride quality or handling? LT versus P, what does that mean?
Well, the P is more of a passenger, traditional tire. Most vehicles, SUVs, and like half-ton pickups, it's definitely suitable. The LT is designated for like a heavier three-quarter ton, one ton. In some cases, people will put them on a half-ton truck because maybe they're hauling more stuff and they want that little more support. You know, it's a rating based on load. You know, those LT tires are designed to carry more load. They're higher ply, higher count ply. You know, my truck I drive, I use it to plow the parking lot, so I do have LT tires. They will affect the ride. They're going to be a little more of a, you know, traditional truck ride. My wife does not enjoy that ride, so if it's more than you in the vehicle and someone's not going to like it, I would probably veer away from that. But it depends on your needs. If you're going to be doing a lot of, you know, landscaping, construction, you're hauling a lot of stuff, you might find some benefit from it. But if you're just, like most people, just kind of driving around town, running to the cabin, maybe you make a stop at the hardware store to get a couple things, but you're not doing that on a regular basis, the P tire is probably more of the right fit for you.
Very good. As we head to this quick break, we're going to get to the phones. I want to alert Randall, you're going to be first up here when we come back after this quick break. Call or text any kind of a car care question you might have this Saturday morning, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Now, we always like to do, Nick, for those folks that maybe need some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys there?
Yes, sir. So if you need some advice or have a couple questions before you take your car into your shop, please give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul and Grand Avenue, or on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue, and if you don't mind, I'd appreciate you checking out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing and also give you that info before Nick leaves us, which is just about 7:45 Jack Farrell time. So call or text any kind of a car care question you may have, 651-461-9226. Nick, we promise Randall. In Lauderdale, we would have Randall first up here. Thanks for waiting, Randall. What is your question, please?
So my question, I heard part of the conversation as far as the spark plug. So basically, I have an older vehicle. I have a 2006 Toyota Tundra. It sat for a long time while I was out of the continental United States. And so I only have, what, I'm sitting in it right now. I have 69,000 miles on it. I've done most maintenance that I was thinking about as far as the transfer case and whatnot, all my fluid changes. And you guys were talking about the spark plugs, and I'm wondering, so if I bring it in and have spark plugs done, should I continue with the high mileage spark plugs on it, or can it go to lower mileage spark plugs? What do you guys recommend? And also, I heard you guys talking about that they could be rusted in, so...
Yeah, so in this case, Randall, I would say my bigger concern is that whether or not they're going to remove. If there's significant corrosion, it's been sitting a lot of time, heating and cooling and that such, and moisture. So we want to be careful to remove those plugs. Now, when you're replacing spark plugs, I'm a huge advocate of putting what was in there originally. Over the years, certain makes, people sometimes try to save a few dollars and put a different spark plug in, which can create a different burn rate, a lot of technical things that the car may not like and results in poor fuel economy. Maybe it's hard to start, maybe you have a misfire. So we always stress to put back in what came out of the vehicle. That's one area in the vehicle, you know, that I can't stress enough, that if it is a certain brand, a certain type of spark plug, I understand higher, lower mileage, the lesser mileage ones cost less, but if that's not what the vehicle calls for, and there's a specification, that I would follow that specification exactly.
All right. Very good. Thanks for the call, Randall. By the way, if you want to call in or text in your car care question, either way, 651-461-9226. That'll get it done. Cindy in Brooklyn Park sent this text in, Nick. My 1995 Cadillac Eldorado sending an information message. AC refrigerant very low. The compressor stopped. It was working great. She says, I had the blower going and it blows warm air. And she said, you put a new battery in about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Or is this just coincidental? What do you think about that AC question?
Well, in that vintage, I'd be careful, I guess. The first thing we would do is confirm, obviously, try to operate the system, see if the compressor is locked out. And then we need to determine why. Maybe we need to evacuate the system to see the level of refrigerant. If it is low on refrigerant, then we need to figure out why is that. You know, there's a leak somewhere, so try to find the source of the leak, determine the repair, and then proceed forward. The other thing, too, that car is getting a little bit older. The electronics are a little bit older. It's possible, too, that something within that control head is confused or not reading the specifications properly. So maybe it's shutting it off because it thinks it's low in refrigerant and it's not. So could be two different directions there. The car is a little bit older, and you know I don't know where it's going to end up yet. So the first thing we would do is check to see if it's low in refrigerant and then proceed from there.
Okay. Here's a question, Nick, as you know, we get from time to time. What is your opinion on rust-proofing a new vehicle?
I think if it's something that you're interested in, do your research. We see the bottoms of a lot of vehicles, obviously. I think the best thing you can do is wash your vehicle on a regular basis, pay the extra dollar to have the undercarriage spray. I think that's sufficient, honestly. You know, the rust is never in the really obvious spots underneath. It's always in the nooks and crannies, and I'm not sure that treatment can really prevent that, to be honest. You know, and I'm sure the salespeople can tell you different, but based on my experience in being underneath cars for all these years, I think the best thing you can do is wash it on a regular basis, pay a little extra money for the undercarriage spray, especially when the roads are salty. Get that salt off the car. It's the biggest thing you can do.
Yeah, get that undercarriage washed. Spend the extra bucks if indeed there is an extra charge. 651-461-9226. Tell you what, let's do. And we have other text questions to get answered. And I know folks want to know what the holiday forecast is going to be. So let's do this. We'll have a look at that weather, come back with the remaining minutes of our show. 651-461-9226. Let's hear your car care question for Nick Stoffel here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, thanks to somebody like Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. He is an ASC certified technician answering those questions as usual. Nick, as usual, we have callers and we have texters. So let's get you back to work here. Kevin, hanging on the phone from Owatonna, Minnesota. Kevin, thanks, Kevin. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, a very good morning to you. I have a question. I haven't been in a service garage for a long period of time, let's say, and I don't know how things are done. Back in the day, you could take a vehicle in and have it hooked up to like a computer system, whatever, and they give you a readout about the efficiency. I mean, overall, the engine, they check the exhaust and everything, and they could tell you, you know, basically, is the vehicle running efficiently? Is there anything they offer today, I mean, with the new computer systems or whatever? I mean, can just go into a garage today and get someone to analyze the vehicle? I thank you and have a good day, please.
Yeah, well, good question. Nick, what would you say to that?
Yes, sir. So I would say with the sensors in the vehicle and the way they're designed and the efficiency of the vehicle does itself. You know, it knows the exhaust now. You know, we used to use that tailpipe tester, what he was referring to there, where you'd analyze the exhaust coming out and check the efficiency of the engine. Well, now the air-fuel ratio sensors, oxygen sensors can do that reading. If something's out of tolerance or inefficient, it's going to flag that check engine light. So the cars have evolved to the point where if one of the sensors doesn't like, or the computer doesn't like what one of the sensors is seeing, it's going to flag that light. And where people get a little bit misunderstood is they see a sensor for, or a code for a lean sensor, they assume that the sensor's bad. That's not always the case. Something further upstream might be causing the vehicle to run lean, so the sensor's actually correct. So you have to be careful not just assume that these codes mean replace this part. It could be that part, but it could also be something further upstream. And some of these components are hundreds of dollars, so we don't be wasteful. So we want to make sure we do our diligence, complete the test, and make a recommendation on what we learn.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's see. Texter says this. My 23 Maverick came with without backup sensors, camera only. Absolutely hate it. Can I add sensors to my truck?
I doubt it. I mean, you can check with the body shop. Obviously, some versions may have came with it, but there's more than just sensors. There's a lot of wiring harness. There's computers, modules, programming. That might not be an easy change. It's worth, like I said, check with the dealership, see if there's an option there. Check with the body shop, see if there's availability. But I doubt that it's quite that simple. I mean, I would assume it would be quite costly.
Yeah. Here is a 2020 Chevy Silverado, 50,000 miles on it. While traveling at around 60 miles an hour, I have a pretty loud shake for about 2 to 3 seconds every 8 to 10 miles. Would changing the transmission fluid correct this, do you think, with Mobil 1 transmission fluid? Is there brand choice there?
Well, there is a bulletin that he's likely got that information from that talks about a shutter that it might help. And it's possible if, in fact, that's what's happening. I don't know what's going on inside of that. I haven't felt it. I would say 60,000 miles is a little bit early, but I think in that particular vehicle, in that particular transmission, it's probably worth doing that service. I would follow that service procedure, use the fluid that they're recommending, which we have and had success. So I would say you're on the right track. It's worth doing it because if that's not the issue, you know, it may be very soon. So let's prevent that problem. And then, you know, you can check that box and hopefully they have no more issues. If you do, then we go to the next step.
Very good. Another text says this, Nick, 2013 BMW X5 E70. 154,000 miles on it. The push button start has a rough start, and while running perfectly, no issues. It has a new battery, new plugs and coils at 120,000 miles. Do you think I have a starter issue? Rough start.
Well, if you're having an issue with a starter, typically it doesn't actually start. You'll or crank. You'll get just like a click or an audible noise. If you're having a rough start, usually something's not proper. You know, you mentioned spark plugs and coils are new, so maybe we can check that off. But what about the fuel system, the fuel injectors? On those vehicles, it's possible that a fuel injector might be leaking a little bit, meaning you shut the car off, it adds a little more fuel to that particular cylinder. When you go to restart the vehicle, it's kind of flooded a little bit, so it needs to clear its throat, and so that's what the stumbling is. So in that situation with that car, I would probably have somebody do the basic diagnostic, figure out which way you're headed with that, and then you can make a better informed decision. The last thing you want is have, if it's a fuel injector or a fuel system problem, where you ended up stuck somewhere. So I think it's fair to say get on somebody's schedule, have that assessed, and take it from there.
think we started something with our chat about spark plugs. This listener says this may be our last question. When having your oil change, do they regularly check the spark plugs? I don't remember talking about them, listener says.
They do not necessarily. Some vehicles, it's very difficult to gain access to spark plugs. So the mileage interval and the age is really the easiest way to gauge that. If it's a used vehicle to you and you've had it for a few years and you don't know, it might be worth investing in replacing them. Some cases, you know, you can ask, is it easy to gain access? Can you check a spark plug to see where they're at? And if they are easily accessible, of course we would do that. Sometimes, though, there's a bit of disassembly to gain access, so it's not as quite as clear and simple in every vehicle.
Nick, I don't want to leave the last couple of listeners out here. Let's do a real lightning round. 20-year-old Mitsubishi Eclipse, 2-year-old battery. I charged the battery to 100%. 12 hours later, without driving it, it dropped to 85%. Is that normal?
Percentages are tough on a tester. Yeah. I would look at voltages. If it's over 12.6, you're okay.
Finally, will my car alert me when the filters need changing?
No, you need to follow the maintenance schedule. If you live in a dusty, dirty area, you should do it more often.
All right, very good. I presume you guys are closed on July 4th, but open otherwise. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. As always, if you have a question, need advice, 651-228-1316. If you're taking a stroll down Grand Avenue, we're at 982. Stop and say hi. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And let's check in with you next weekend. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Happy 4th to you and the crew at Lloyd's. Yes, and stay tuned for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M in the 8 o'clock hour. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And on this final weekend of June, time once again to talk cars. Well, actually, talk problems with your car, your truck, your van. If you have any issues and you want to know what the heck could be wrong with them, why don't you get some free advice in the way of chatting, texting, calling. Nick Stoffel is a ASC-certified technician and runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Wonderful place. Hang out there myself from time to time, much to their chagrin. But anyway, Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. And you're always welcome to come hang out.
Oh, you're very kind. But that's the way you treat everybody there. You've got the friendly, I've said it 1,000 times, you've got the nicest people up there at at the desk there. And you pick them well, and they hang around for a long time. But in the meantime, if you have any problems with your vehicle and you know you've got to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you want to know ahead of it what Nick may think may be wrong. And again, you don't have to be a motorhead. You don't have to be a do-it-yourselfer whatsoever, although we have a lot of those that call in and text in. And do that very thing. We welcome yours, and we ask you to do it earlier rather than later because our time goes by so quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 when Jack Farrell steps in. So by all means, let's hear from him. 651-461-9226, any kind of a car care question you may have. Nick, I got something earlier this morning, which is kind of fun, and I'll simplify it here because it's kind of a long paragraph. But he or she is asking about the phrase tune-up. You know, back in the old days, I guess they're asking, what was it like back in the old days, distributor and all that stuff, and what's considered a tune-up today? So let's go back in time. What was then a tune-up?
Well, you'd probably have to go back before most of us were driving, but a tune-up would consist of, you know, adjusting the timing, the points, regapping the sparks maybe, and as technology has evolved, we have electronic ignitions now. Spark plugs, you don't gap because typically they're a very fine tip of iridium or platinum or some precious material, which allows them to last up to 100,000 miles. So the word tune-up is stuck with us, but really, I guess what I would say today, it's a good checkover. You know, maybe you're doing oil filter change, maybe you're inspecting the condition of the ignition system, making sure you don't see any signs of wear and tear. And just a general once-over of the vehicle, I think when people come into the shop, hey, I just need to have it tuned up, meaning they're getting ready for a road trip and they want to make sure everything's in good shape.
But like you and I've talked in past shows, spark plugs these days, and you mentioned the newer tips, they seem to last a long time. In fact, how often do you guys change spark plugs at Lloyd's? Maybe you do it a lot, but I mean, what do manufacturers, I guess, recommend as a rule?
Well, once again, it depends on the technology that they're using. There are some that still use a standard spark plug. You know, maybe you're getting 40 or 60,000 miles, but some of the higher mileage spark plugs will get up over 100,000 miles. So, you know, once again, as we always talk about, that manual will have a schedule in there telling you when about you should be looking at having those replaced. On those higher miles ones, though, if you don't drive much, you're only putting a few thousand miles a year, I want you to think traditionally, like, you know, if I was driving 10, 12,000 miles, I'd probably replace those plugs at 8, 10 years. They may not be worn out, but we do run into issues where we can't get them removed once that car gets to a certain age. So mileage is the kind of the key and the wear and tear piece of it. But if that car is getting up to 10, 12, 13, 14 years old and the spark plugs have not been done, that needs to be addressed before those are corroded and stuck into that cylinder head.
Oh, that's a tough one. What happens when that happens to a vehicle that they're stuck? What do you guys do?
Well,
pray.
We cross our fingers. We pray. You know, there's over the years, there's been certain vehicle setups that have been more susceptible to like spark plugs cracking or breaking, and you have to be very cautious because the last thing you want is any of that material to go into the cylinder head. If that happens and you can't get it out, now you're removing a cylinder head when it started out as a simple spark plug replacement. So it can go from very straightforward to very complex and very expensive easily.
Let's hear your car care question at 651-461-9226. AS, your certified tech. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering those questions as usual this morning. 651-461-9226. You're going to have to help me with this text, Nick. Listener says, I need to replace the engine hood switch to circuit high 6. You're going to have to help me with this text, Nick. Listener says, I need to replace the engine hood switch to circuit high in my 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee. I was quoted nearly $400 to replace it. Is it as easy to replace as the YouTube videos imply? The replacement part is less than $40. Do you know what that texter is asking about?
Well, I always caution you with YouTube because that two-minute video is edited into 2 minutes from who knows what. Now, the other piece to it is I feel most often those switches are part of the latch. And, you know, maybe there's a aftermarket or a third-party latch you can get for $40, but I don't know if I would trust it that the electronics are going to work properly and the switch is going to work as it should. The other piece is when you install the latch, there might be some adjustment there, meaning when you close the hood, if it's not the same position, the hood might rattle. And then you might be fighting yourself, or maybe it will be too tight and not latch all the way. So if you, as always, if you have the ability, the proper tools, the training, and the willingness to attack the job, I say go ahead and do it. But just keep in mind, take photos, document as much as you can, because in the event you do run into problems, you have something to reference to get you out of it.
Very good. If you want a little bit of free car care advice from Nick Stauffel, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Another text, 2009 Silverado half ton. Texter says, I need to get tires soon. The decal on the door indicates the tire size to be P265-7017. I'm seeing some tires of that size with an LT designation instead of the P designation. What is the difference, and would there be any problems with ride quality or handling? LT versus P, what does that mean?
Well, the P is more of a passenger, traditional tire. Most vehicles, SUVs, and like half-ton pickups, it's definitely suitable. The LT is designated for like a heavier three-quarter ton, one ton. In some cases, people will put them on a half-ton truck because maybe they're hauling more stuff and they want that little more support. You know, it's a rating based on load. You know, those LT tires are designed to carry more load. They're higher ply or higher count ply. You know, my truck I drive, I use it to plow the parking lot, so I do have LT tires. They will affect the ride. They're going to be a little more of a, you know, traditional truck ride. My wife does not enjoy that ride. So if it's more than you in the vehicle and someone's not going to like it, I would probably veer away from that. But it depends on your needs. If you're going to be doing a lot of, you know, landscaping, construction, you're hauling a lot of stuff, you might find some benefit from it. But if you're just, like most people, just kind of driving around town, running to the cabin, maybe you make a stop at the hardware store to get a couple things, but you're not doing that on a regular basis, the P tire is probably more of the right fit for you.
Very good. As we head to this quick break, we're going to get to the phones. I want to alert Randall, you're going to be first up here when we come back after this quick break. Call or text any kind of a car care question you might have this Saturday morning, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Now, as we always like to do, Nick, for those folks that maybe need some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys there?
Yes, sir. So if you need some advice or have a couple questions before you take your car into your shop, please give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul and Grand Avenue or on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue, and if you don't mind, I'd appreciate you checking out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing and also give you that info before Nick leaves us, which is just about 7:45 Jack Farrell time. So call or text any kind of a car care question you may have, 651-461-9226. Nick, we promise Randall. In Lauderdale, we would have Randall first up here. Thanks for waiting, Randall. What is your question, please?
So my question, I heard part of the conversation as far as the spark plug. So basically, I have an older vehicle. I have a 2006 Toyota Tundra. It sat for a long time while I was out of the continental United States. And so I only have, what, I'm sitting in it right now. I have 69,000 miles on it. I've done most maintenance that I was thinking about as far as the transfer case and whatnot, all my fluid changes. And you guys were talking about the spark plugs, and I'm wondering, so if I bring it in and have spark plugs done, should I continue with the high mileage spark plugs on it, or can it go to lower mileage spark plugs? What do you guys recommend? And also, I heard you guys talking about that they could be rusted in, so...
Yeah, so in this case, Randall, I would say my bigger concern is that whether or not they're going to remove. If there's significant corrosion, it's been sitting a lot of time, heating and cooling and that such, and moisture. So we want to be careful to remove those plugs. Now, when you're replacing spark plugs, I'm a huge advocate of putting what was in there originally. Over the years, certain makes, people sometimes try to save a few dollars and put a different spark plug in, which can create a different burn rate, a lot of technical things that the car may not like and results in poor fuel economy. Maybe it's hard to start. Maybe you have a misfire. So we always stress to put back in what came out of the vehicle. That's one area in the vehicle, you know, that I can't stress enough that if it is a certain brand, a certain type of spark plug, I understand higher or lower mileage, the lesser mileage ones cost less, but if that's not what the vehicle calls for, and there's a specification, that I would follow that specification exactly.
All right. Very good. Thanks for the call, Randall. By the way, if you want to call in or text in your car care question, either way, 651-461-9226. That'll get it done. Cindy in Brooklyn Park sent this text in, Nick. My 1995 Cadillac Eldorado sending an information message. AC refrigerant very low. The compressor stopped. It was working great. She says, I had the blower going and it blows warm air. And she said, you put a new battery in about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Or is this just coincidental? What do you think about that AC question?
Well, in that vintage, I'd be careful, I guess. The first thing we would do is confirm, obviously, try to operate the system, see if the compressor is locked out. And then we need to determine why. Maybe we need to evacuate the system to see the level of refrigerant. If it is low on refrigerant, then we need to figure out why is that. You know, there's a leak somewhere, so try to find the source of the leak, determine the repair, and then proceed forward. The other thing, too, that car is getting a little bit older. The electronics are a little bit older. It's possible, too, that something within that control head is confused or not reading the specifications properly. So maybe it's shutting it off because it thinks it's low in refrigerant and it's not. So could be two different directions there. The car is a little bit older. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to end up yet. So the first thing we would do is check to see if it's low on refrigerant and then proceed from there.
Okay. Here's a question, Nick. As you know, we get from time to time. What is your opinion on rust-proofing a new vehicle?
I think if it's something that you're interested in, do your research. We see the bottoms of a lot of vehicles, obviously. I think the best thing you can do is wash your vehicle on a regular basis, pay the extra dollar to have the undercarriage spray. I think that's sufficient, honestly. You know, the rust is never in the really obvious spots underneath. It's always in the nooks and crannies, and I'm not sure that treatment can really prevent that, to be honest. You know, and I'm sure the salespeople can tell you different, but based on my experience and being underneath cars for all these years, I think the best thing you can do is wash it on a regular basis, pay a little extra money for the undercarriage spray, especially when the roads are salty. Get that salt off the car. It's the biggest thing you can do.
Yeah, get that undercarriage washed. Spend the extra bucks if indeed there is an extra charge. 651-461-9226. I'll tell you what let's do. And we have other text questions to get answered. And I know folks want to know what the holiday forecast is going to be. So let's do this. We'll have a look at that weather, come back with the remaining minutes of our show. 651-461-9226. Let's hear your car care question for Nick Stoffel here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, thanks to somebody like Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. He is an ASC certified technician answering those questions as usual. Nick, as usual, we have callers and we have texters. So let's get you back to work here. Kevin, hanging on the phone from Owatonna, Minnesota. Kevin, thanks, Kevin. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, a very good morning to you. I have a question. I haven't been in a service garage for a long period of time, let's say, and I don't know how things are done. Back in the day, you could take a vehicle in and have it hooked up to like a computer system or whatever, and they give you a readout about the efficiency. I mean, overall, the engine, they check the exhaust and everything, and they could tell you, you know, basically, is the vehicle running efficiently? Is there anything they offer today, I mean, with the new computer systems or whatever? I mean, can just go into a garage today and get someone to analyze the vehicle? I thank you and have a good day, please.
Yeah, well, good question. Nick, what would you say to that?
Yes, sir. So I would say with the sensors in the vehicle and the way they're designed and the efficiency of the vehicle does itself. You know, it knows the exhaust now, you know, we used to use that tailpipe tester, what he was referring to there, where you'd analyze the exhaust coming out and check the efficiency of the engine. Well, now the air-fuel ratio sensors, oxygen sensors can do that reading. If something's out of tolerance or inefficient, it's going to flag that check engine light. So the cars have evolved to the point where if one of the sensors doesn't like, or the computer doesn't like what one of the sensors is seeing, it's going to flag that light. And where people get a little bit misunderstood is they see a sensor for, or a code for a lean sensor, they assume that the sensor's bad. That's not always the case. Something further upstream might be causing the vehicle to run lean, so the sensor's actually correct. So you have to be careful not just assume that these codes mean replace this part. It could be that part, but it could also be something further upstream. And some of these components are hundreds of dollars, so we don't be wasteful. So we want to make sure we do our diligence, complete the test, and make a recommendation on what we learn.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's see. Texter says this. My 23 Maverick came without backup sensors, camera only. Absolutely hate it. Can I add sensors to my truck?
I doubt it. I mean, you can check with the body shop. Obviously, some versions may have came with it, but there's more than just sensors. There's a lot of wiring harness. There's computers, modules, programming. That might not be an easy change. It's worth, like I said, check with the dealership, see if there's an option there. Check with the body shop, see if there's availability. But I doubt that it's quite that simple. I mean, I would assume it'd be quite costly.
Yeah. Here is a 2020 Chevy Silverado, 50,000 miles on it. While traveling at around 60 miles an hour, I have a pretty loud shake for about 2 to 3 seconds every 8 to 10 miles. Would changing the transmission fluid correct this, do you think, with Mobil 1 transmission fluid? Is there brand choice there?
Well, there is a bulletin that he's likely got that information from that talks about a shutter that it might help. And it's possible if, in fact, that's what's happening. I don't know what's going on inside of that. I haven't felt it. I would say 60,000 miles is a little bit early, but I think in that particular vehicle, in that particular transmission, it's probably worth doing that service. I would follow that service procedure, use the fluid that they're recommending, which we have and had success. So I would say you're on the right track. It's worth doing it, because if that's not the issue, you know, it may be very soon, so let's prevent that problem. And then, you know, you can check that box, and hopefully they have no more issues. If you do, then we go to the next step.
Very good. Another text says this, Nick. 2013 BMW X5 E70. 154,000 miles on it. The push-button start has a rough start, and while running perfectly, no issues. It has a new battery. New plugs and coils at 120,000 miles. Do you think I have a starter issue? Rough start.
Well, if you're having an issue with a starter, typically it doesn't actually start. You'll or crank. You'll get just like a click or an audible noise. If you're having a rough start, usually something's not proper. You know, you mentioned spark plugs and coils are new, so maybe we can check that off. But what about the fuel system, the fuel injectors? Is on those vehicles, it's possible that a fuel injector might be leaking a little bit, meaning you shut the car off, it adds a little more fuel to that particular cylinder. When you go to restart the vehicle, it's kind of flooded a little bit, so it needs to clear its throat, and so that's what the stumbling is. So in that situation with that car, I would probably have somebody do the basic diagnostic, figure out which way you're headed with that, and then you can make a better informed decision. The last thing you want is have, if it's a fuel injector or a fuel system problem, where you ended up stuck somewhere. So I think it's fair to say, get on somebody's schedule, have that assessed, and take it from there.
I think we started something with our chat about spark plugs. This listener says, this may be our last question. When having your oil change, do they regularly check the spark plugs? I don't remember talking about them, listener says.
They do not necessarily. Some vehicles, it's very difficult to gain access to spark plugs. So the mileage interval and the age is really the easiest way to gauge that. If it's a used vehicle to you and you've had it for a few years and you don't know, it might be worth investing in replacing them. Some cases, you know, you can ask, is it easy to gain access? Can you check a spark plug to see where they're at? And if they are easily accessible, of course we would do that. Sometimes, though, there's a bit of disassembly to gain access, so it's not as quite as clear and simple in every vehicle.
Nick, I don't want to leave the last couple of listeners out here. Let's do a real lightning round. 20-year-old Mitsubishi Eclipse, 2-year-old battery. I charged the battery to 100%. 12 hours later, without driving it, it dropped to 85%. Is that normal?
Percentages are tough on a tester. Yeah. I would look at voltages. If it's over 12.6, you're okay.
Finally, will my car alert me when the filters need changing?
No, you need to follow the maintenance schedule. If you live in a dusty, dirty area, you should do it more often.
All right, very good. I presume you guys are closed on July 4th, but open otherwise. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. As always, if you have a question, need advice, 651-228-1316. If you're taking a stroll down Grand Avenue, we're at 982. Stop and say hi. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And let's check in with you next weekend. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Happy 4th to you and the crew at Lloyd's. Yes, and stay tuned for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M in the 8 o'clock hour. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO.